Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Capture the Frag, the video game and board game and TV show and movie podcast and other things that we care about talking about show.
Sure.
Yep. That was a fucking word.
Alright, I'll go again.
Capture the Frag.
Hello and welcome to Capture the Frag, episode 14. This is the podcast where we talk about video games, movies, TV shows, and other things that matter to us in this last 2 weeks. I am your host, as usual, Matthew Briggs. I am joined this week by...
Luke.
Bill.
Paul.
Kat. Joe.
Chris.
That's everybody. Full team for a change. So we've got no actual topic for this week, so I'm just going to do a round table and catch up with everybody and see what everyone's been doing. We won't start with me, because it'll be more Overwatch at the start of the show, so we'll move round to Phil.
Wow, okay. We're prepared for that.
We move round to Paul.
Oh, God. I have played some more board games. I mean, I've not been on the show in a while now, so I've done quite a bit in that time, both video and board game related. I don't think I've played any new board games, actually. We've played Scrimmage. We've all played Scrimmage together for the first time, except Luke.
Wow.
Nah.
So, yeah. It's a really good game. A little card game. It's a little opposed. You get five stacks each of various values in those stacks, and you fight each other by choosing one of your cards from one of your stacks and pitting them against somebody else's stack, and the higher card wins. There's a few more rules to it than that, but for the most part, it worked out quite well. It's a long, long game.
Well, because
We played with, like, nine people the first time?
Wasn't nine, was it? Seven. We played seven.
It was seven.
Each box contains two decks, red and blue, and that plays two people. So we have four decks between us, so we went with one unused. There's a lot more strategy involved than I thought there was going to be, because it started out as a complete random game with people just throwing numbers at each other until it got towards the end. And we miscounted some of the cards and got really angry at our friend Tom, because we thought that he was holding back an archer that could really have settled the game. But he'd already lost it, so we were just yelling at him for no reason.
He told us he lost it.
And we didn't believe him, we thought he was lying.
Paul was also being violently sneaky about the things he played. Yeah, you were full on rogue, normal sneaky.
Literally just knocked someone unconscious. Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally what you did to Tom in the
last episode. I was joking.
Just blackjacked him.
I seriously didn't hurt Tom, like physically.
It might be mentally scarred.
Yeah,
but luckily we got Joe to kill you at the end.
This is why he's not joining us for the next session.
Or ever again.
It's one of those games where you have to remember a lot of things and you have to work out what everyone else is kind of doing.
Well, yeah, it's effectively a memory game, isn't it?
You can't just pick a person and go hell for leather on them.
Yeah.
It's not an effective tactic.
No.
Chris and I discovered that is, in fact, the worst tactic, and we both don't get very
well. I was helping you by scouting out Chris's...
You were, yeah, and...
I was attacking you with ones, which
was
clearly going to lose.
Two against one for most of that. Yeah.
My entire tactic was, I'll play this. I'll play that. I won.
Pro gaming.
Just guess it. Don't pay attention to the rules.
Most of us went in with a strategy and lost.
Luke doing his famous podcast mimes.
Very much.
I'll do a video cast one day just so everyone can understand what we see.
We'll just point it at Luke.
Luke putting his face in his hands.
Yeah, it'll just be... The whole podcast will still be audio. It'll just be a camera train on Luke for the entire 3 hours.
It won't even be a camera, it'll be a still image.
Just shrugging.
It's literally just a photo of face palm.
Or we could do like a little gif of between your hand and your hands and then face.
If you want,
I'm using a picture of Luke for the next banner this episode.
Anyone wants to illustrate pictures of Luke looking
as a
flick
book. Then send it
in. No. Yeah, because anyone's going to put that much effort in. We can't even get digital imagery, let alone actual craft.
Stickman Luke.
I've played a bit of Malifaux, actually. I've started collecting a Malifaux force now.
to play against my brother.
What's Malifaux?
Malifaux is, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it before, it's a little tabletop skirmish game with miniatures.
The sort of thing
like
you want into.
Very small scale war, but it's set in sort of a steampunky kind of world, and the factions in it are quite varied. You've got I collect the gremlins, which are effectively goblins without noses. But they all
like
live
Voldemort.
In yeah, they all live, they all live in the bayou.
Tiny cute Voldemort.
And there's like swamp things, and they collect pigs. The guy that I've gone with, the leader I've gone with, is the pig master guy. So most of my army is pigs, and he can ride the pigs. And it's
brilliant.
It's brilliant. I love it.
It's really the very best that no one ever was.
I mean, that is what I'm going for. He's going to collect all the pigs. But yeah, it's a really, really fun game. There's so much variance. My brother collects the Neverborn, which are effectively the native denizens of this other realm. And they are just really creepy things. Like one of his figures is actually a baby with a butcher's knife. There's another one of a little girl, like a sort of Lolita-style girl with a skull in a basket. And it all kinds of like nightmarish dream things.
So he's collecting the McFarlane army.
This is the Neverborn. So it's really fun. There's a lot of variance in the different factions that you've got. And it's sort of more of a storytelling type game than something like Warhammer. It's a much smaller scale. You only have sort of maybe 7 or 8 figures at any one time, and what you can do with them is a bit more involved. It's not like a very
small
cheaper scale
because of that.
It's not that. Well, it is cheaper, but the miniatures themselves, for what they are, tend to cost a bit more than GW ones. And I've got to say, the sculpts aren't quite as good as GW ones.
It's cheaper in terms of sheer amount of models needed.
Yes, exactly.
The price per model
is
a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, I've got piglets in my army, and they're small things. It's a 32mm scale game, just in a slightly bigger
fighting armor. With children again.
But piglets versus babies. That's how the game works.
The poo's not even in there anywhere.
The piglets are maybe only sort of a centimetre, 12 millimetres tall. And you get 3 of them in a box, and that's like a tenner. So it's not great value for money in terms of the size of the minis.
They're still very much still at all. Rabbit, Tigger, any of them? Eeyore?
No, it's just Piglet.
I was going to say, it's better than my usual joke of 40 quid for a box of 6 Space Marines.
Yeah.
What about Thomas the Tank?
No, there's not actually any Thomas the Tank in there.
You just want someone to kickstart a board game for you that is Warhammer, but with popular children's TV show characters.
Surprisingly, I would buy the fuck out of that.
I think I would too. Yeah.
Warhammer.
Disney Infinity meets Warhammer.
Yes.
Terrific, twisted match.
If it's not, like the
90s cartoon.
Yeah, if it's not the 90s cartoon like stuff from my childhood.
I suppose you could just, scratch build a bunch of Warhammer models yourself, have a dreadnought turn into Thomas the Tank Engine.
You could 3D print them.
You could.
Yeah. I'm just putting this out there, kickstarting it so that someone else does all of that sound way fucking easier.
Yeah. Someone who's listening to this, please do that if you
someone
can.
Else with a 3D printer. Yeah.
And the ability to do all these things.
Also, the organisation to run a Kickstarter successfully.
Yeah.
But also not just fraud.
They could call it Toonhammer. It'd be amazing.
There you go. Chris has a name.
That sounds like Warhammer based in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Dun dun.
In terms of the figures, they have more like individual character than just regular.
Some of them do. Yeah. There are some really nice sculpts in there. But some of them are fairly plain looking. I mean, one of my piglets is quite cool. He's sort of sitting on his back legs, and he's got his arms kind of like in a little. I can't do the pose here because it won't transfer well for the podcast. He's kind of sticking his arms out. He's got quite a bit of sass to him.
He's got a little grumpy
face.
Everyone around the table is now doing swagger moves with their arms.
Apart from this.
He's playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, he is.
He's just trying to have something to say on his turn. It's going to be...
This is all my gaming for 2 weeks.
Doing it now.
On the podcast.
Ghostlands is pretty good. I like that. There's some good minis in there. There's some good stuff coming out. New stuff all the time. But it's worth checking out if people are into miniature type games. Malifaux seems to be becoming more and more popular now. So
I could do that. Good. I've been searching for someone to play War Machine with, but that seems to have gotten less popular since I last played it.
Yeah.
But it's got a much lower price point than a lot of the others.
War Horse does seem to be dropping. I think a lot of people who originally got into that, because that was sort of the first alternative to GW type stuff, a lot of people have moved away from that onto other things like Kings of War, Malifaux.
Because I think that War Machine as a tabletop game is better than Warhammer, but they've definitely not done as well as Games Workshop when it comes to the video games. The War Machine game on Steam, not anywhere near as good as either Dawn of War 1 or 2.
I wasn't even aware that was a thing.
Yeah, they put one out. It was in early access for a long time. It's been officially released now, and it's a pretty accurate translation of the game
which is very interesting.
Because it's turn-based and it's grid-based. Right, so you play like you would play on the board game, on the tabletop, but it's... which that doesn't even have a grid, but... No, it's a relatively decent translation of the rules.
I've got a friend who...
It feels a bit janky.
He plays in Warm Horde tournaments and he actually uses the video game to practice for the tournaments because it's close enough that he feels he can.
Whereas it really could have done, lore wise, it could have done with more of a Dawn of War sort of RTS game built for it.
Thor 3?
Yeah.
That's coming out soon. It's going to be good. We're all going to enjoy it.
Thank God, because I'm now only interested in the video games from Games Workshop and not paying the prices.
That dead world.
Total Warhammer.
That just got released.
Yeah. And they make a big deal about it. Like, oh, I could play this.
Oh, it's Total Warhammer based on the new one?
The world that you killed off.
No,
based on the old one, because they've been developing it for years before they killed it off. They kill off the game and then go,
I've heard it's really good, though.
We should play this. Probably will be, because it's Total War game. Yeah, it's Total War. I think that's the only interesting things I did. I played other bits here and there. I played a couple of classic PlayStation games.
How classic.
I've played some Crash fairly recently.
Nice.
I'm enjoying Crash as always. I played Bugs Bunny and Taz Time Busters. Because you can play that as a two-player co-op.
Yeah.
Can you?
So I've played a bit of that with my housemate. And that's been pretty interesting.
Do you have the digital download if you have the original PlayStation?
The original PlayStation game. Which works on my PS3, thankfully.
Oh, you've not actually set up a PS1 to play it?
No, yeah. I couldn't. My TV doesn't have a SCART. So, tried to set up the PlayStation, went, ah.
You can eBay a converter to, like, $1.99 or something.
Or I could just put it in the PS3, and it works.
Because I've had to buy multiple converters for the Sega Mega Drive and for the NES. Mm.
That's a quality one for the Mega Drive.
Hooking the NES up through an aerial and having to like search through tuning the aerial in. I was like, I just need a different cable for this.
That's all part of the fun, though. It's all part of the nostalgia.
But then you're like, it's going to like 44.6. Like, oh, this is slightly good. 44.7. I can't see anything. There's no way to tune that better.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, good memories. So, that's me.
So, yeah, Paul.
I've played that game that you will talk about, so I'll probably talk about it.
We will talk about that later.
I also finally got round to actually playing Undertale.
Oh, did you buy it?
Yeah.
I thought you were waiting like me for that to appear in a bundle.
I was, but part of me went, I really need to play this.
You know that this month, it's going to bring in the Humble Monthly, now that you've paid for it.
And Nidhogg, yeah.
That Nidhogg and Spin Tires, now that I've spent money on Spin Tires and Nidhogg,
will perfectly bundle. I got Spin Tires in the previous podcast. But yeah, I had to get hold of it eventually because it's been nagging me for ages because it
just was the hype too much for you?
It's not just the hype, it's just I kept spoiling it by looking at YouTube clips and everything else. Mm. One of the things that doesn't come across in YouTube clips as well as it does when you're playing it is actually got a great difficulty level in terms of the actual gameplay.
Right.
Because a lot of the people who are playing it are obviously either very good and practiced at it or they're only just showing you the best bits where they haven't messed it up. It really is easy to mess it up, but at the same time, I'm doing a pacifist run, and it's really, really difficult to like get through all the different hoops that they set for you to jump through. But it's really rewarding. Its soundtrack is amazing. It's lovely chiptune grand. Can't recommend it enough. I'm only about not even a fifth of the way through, but I'm just enjoying it. Did play briefly some Jump Kick.
Yes. I got that in the same bundle I think you got it in.
Yes.
And I'd only like played a bit of the campaign mode, just thought, oh, this will be a stupid joke game. And it felt like that while playing the campaign. But then when we played in multiplayer, it became a bit more strategic. We started off just dicking about to the point where we were actually attempting to jump kick one another. It got really interesting as the matches went on. For a game that only has one button for both jump and kick. Oh, no, two buttons.
Two buttons.
Jump and kick, they're separate rather than... Because you could just do it on one button for jump and kick.
You could, but some of the manoeuvres, like the kick, that's the thing, is the characters, they do have just jump and kick, but some of them, like when you first hit kick, won't kick, it will jump back, and
yeah,
you can then go, and there's tactics on that basis.
But that's about as deep as that game gets.
Yeah.
It's a pretty shallow experience on the face of it. Oh, yeah.
And the
DLC characters are quite fun as well, because that's how we ended up talking about Nidhogg, is that the fencer from Nidhogg is in Jumpkick.
Yes.
And he has his roll ability, and then picks up the sword, and then can throw it like he does in Nidhogg, which, the first time we did that was pretty hilarious, because we weren't expecting it, but that's... It's a game built around a very simple mechanic, though.
And then we got, because with Nidhogg was dirt cheap, because we have the Humbles thingy, we got that, which again...
Which most of us had played previously, a few weeks ago, on the... Luke's PlayStation, we had a lot of fun playing that first night.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot.
The sprite work on that game is absolutely fantastic. It adds to a lot of the comedy, seeing your little sprite guy fall, when he just falls forward off of a ledge. Like the switching between the running sprites and that, it gives it a lot of personality to say it's just a very simple one-colour sprite.
And it's nice to jump online, especially. It's nice to be able to just jump in and play a load of games quickly. And then
The only issue I got with the PC version, because we played it on the PlayStation first, is that you can, in local co-op, when we were playing it, you can use the variants, like the boomerang sword and the sword spine and stuff, and the weird things you can turn on and off. On the PC version, unless you're playing local, like on a PlayStation, that mode, if you're playing it online, you can't turn the variants on and off. See, if when me and Paul play online, we could only just play the vanilla Nidhogg, so...
But that was
we played a few rounds of that, and it was fun. I was like, okay, now it's time to hit boomerang swords, because that was hilarious when we played it, which, it just wouldn't carry over to online, and they haven't made any mention of whether they're going to make that available for online or not.
Yeah.
Like, those variants are a huge part, like the replayability, to mix and match them, like the low grab and stuff.
I wonder why they haven't included that.
Probably because of the netcode, because one of the things is it's quite a Twitch-esque game. In that one of the things it tells you on the online is how many milliseconds you've got in terms of response times. Because if you're trying to attack each other, you want to be able to sort of work out where they are. Admittedly, we're not very, or I wasn't very, like, precise in terms of the parrying and stuff. Mostly just throwing swords at each other and jumping and then ripping each other's arms off. But some of the people who are a bit more tactfully playing...
Possibly. But I would think something like Boomerang Swords is just a binary switch that would carry over to online. Does sword come back? Does sword not come back? That should be...
Yeah.
It shouldn't be overly complicated.
No, if throwing the sword is in there, the sword being effectively thrown in the opposite direction should be in there.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it not to.
So, not sure why it's not in there, but it'd be nice if they address that somewhere down the line.
Set up a virtual LAN and play LAN games.
Yeah. We could totally do that.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you could just play it locally.
Yeah, there is. It is a much better couch game than it is an online game, so I can imagine they're not investing that heavily into it, because I'd assume a lot of people are just playing it like we did on PlayStation, just couch style.
Yeah. Considering it's a two-player game, it worked well as a party game in a way, because we all enjoyed watching it, and also much we enjoyed playing it. So, it worked even with this group of people, sort of winner stays on.
We just passed the control back and forth, didn't we? We played that for like nearly 2 hours or something.
Yeah,
we went through a lot of variations of people playing each other, and it was pretty funny the entire time we played it. So and we bought it on PC for like $4.50. Yeah, it was pretty cheap, so it was worth the pickup. And I imagine we'll go back to it every once in a while just for a laugh.
Yeah, well, as I say, it's quick enough that you can just in between like having a chat or something, jump on it and play something. One of the things it also did was it got really angry at Ubisoft because
never.
This isn't even
I haven't checked the stats, so I have no one that you can address on this episode.
It's
just going to be a direct address to Ubisoft this week.
Sort out your netcode, because myself and my friend Billy tried to play Far Cry 3 and Splinter Cell Black Ops online co-op, and it's fucking impossible. In that every time you try and connect to someone else, all you just get is fail notifications. And there's all sorts of things they suggest to try and do to fix it. None of it fucking works. They're just shit at coding for computers, apparently. Consoles, where someone else provides that code for you, fine. But doing it yourself on your own dedicated gaming Uplay system, shit.
Is anyone actually surprised that Ubisoft don't give a shit about PC players anymore?
No.
Yes.
Paul clearly is.
You look clearly shocked, Luke.
Just to tie into that, there is a Humble Bundle for Ubisoft at the moment.
Ignored.
Don't buy it. They're just bastards. Yeah, they're just bastards.
It's an encore anyway.
Yeah, so it's the same one again, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't buy it the first time either.
Yeah. Which is the annoying thing is stuff like Far Cry 3, the single player campaign, is a good game. As is Splinter Cell, they are solidly built games. It's just fix your online code if you're going to include it, or don't include it, because all you do is piss off people who want to play your game.
I've got to be honest, I didn't even know that Far Cry 3 had co-op.
Is it
a mod, or is that actually?
No, it's proper in the game. Okay. It's a separate standalone storyline that you can only play through co-op.
Is that new? Did they add that on recently or something? I had no idea about that.
And again, it's like Splinter
Cell. Then again, my entire experience with Far Cry 3 was actually Blood Dragon instead.
Yes,
which is way better.
But in terms of that, I mean, I believe that's even got co-op.
Does it?
The game. Yeah.
Oh, but shit. If we can get that to work, we should play co-op Blood Dragon.
You won't be able to get it to work.
Oh, it's such a shame. I guess we won't play that.
Yes. But I am severely disappointed because, as I say, they know how to make good games, but they just won't let you play the custom-built co-op with your friends. Strangers. Random strangers. Play with them all you want. Actual friends.
Make friends online.
You shouldn't really play with strangers.
Talk to strangers.
You say don't play with strangers, but like playing League, I'm sure that's for the strangers.
Yeah.
What I meant.
Yeah, I think Kat was going on about Stranger Danger.
League's full of dangerous strangers.
Back to League again.
They're all in bronze, though, so Luke's safe.
I'm pretty sure it's probably the other way around.
Luke is the stranger.
That's not very nice. But yeah, apart from that, that's it, really.
Kat, how was your week?
I have done some stuff. I backed my first Kickstarter last week.
Was it the obligatory $1 Kickstarter?
No, it wasn't.
Because I backed that.
I thought about doing that, but then I was like, I was going to look for something better. Then I spent ages looking for stuff and didn't back anything else. But the thing I did back, I vaguely know a person who's a friend of a friend who wrote a book, which is a sort of slightly dramatised biographical story about adopting a crazy dog from a rescue centre. So I backed that, and he got funded, and he's making a book, and I get a signed first edition and some other stuff, which is quite cool. And I have played some games on my phone. I've played a stupendously idiotic game called...
Candy Crush.
100 Doors Challenge. Which
I played that a long time
gets
ago.
Quite good, but to begin with, there's literally a picture of a door in a different setting. So, like, one of it is kind of like a posh, like a country estate house, like a Belton house type thing with a posh door. And a man pops up with a pipe, like a kind of Sherlock Holmes man. And he just says in a speech bubble, press the button and the door will open. And I was like, and then what? Level 2! I was like, oh, that was it. So that kind of carries on.
One down, 9 to go.
For several really easy levels, and then the man eventually disappears. But it's
then it's breaking and entering simulator.
Interesting, yeah. But there's stuff like you're in a really icy cabin and the door is frozen and you have to find some timber and some matches and light a fire, and then the ice melts and then you can open the door.
Set the door on fire.
Oh, there was quite a good one in a science laboratory where I had to use a model of atoms to create a flask of hydrogen peroxide, and then I melted the door open.
That sounds like a really inefficient way of keeping your doors locked.
Yeah. I mean, there was one where I taped together the wiring for an elevator with duct tape, which seemed slightly...
That works.
Not
can
a
confirm.
Great idea. But it was kind of funny. And... Oh, there was a really annoying one where I had to listen to four parrots who I believe were on a pirate ship singing squawks in order, and then I had to memorise the order they sang and then touch them to make them sing the song before the door would open.
That is a crazy lock.
Yeah, so
every
really...
time you see hear someone just say touch them, you just look at it like...
So that takes some time. And then I played, I can never remember what things are probably called. I played The Walking Dead No Man's Land, which is actually really good for a phone game. It has quite impressive 3D graphics.
Is it The Walking Dead set in Passchendaele?
What?
Is it The Walking Dead set in Passchendaele?
I don't know what that means.
No Man's Land.
Sorry.
No one knows history. Move on.
Okay. It's like a nice little combination between like turn-based fighting game and also building your camp and collecting stuff and upgrading your buildings. Like a little farm city game.
The guy's Walking Dead Farmville, isn't it?
A little bit. It's quite nice. And then there's like Daryl turns up and that's quite nice.
Oh, hello.
Daryl just turns up.
Doesn't he?
Yeah,
and then you're like,
your zombie farm girl's amazing.
We're about to buy some gems.
No bell.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Daryl. I would love to buy some gems.
I'm playing it quite happily with no money, but I suggest people addicted to spending money on it. Like, I'm looking at Phil, who's crossing his arms and doing a sad face, so he knows it's him.
I can't spend money on anything anymore.
That's because you want to just register a new Google account.
Yeah, because that would just mean I spend all my money again.
You can't be sad about it and have
can, there's a word for that.
It's a smug.
No,
it's not. That's, well, you keep thinking about the smug face.
Probably German.
No, I shouldn't do that.
Schadenfreude.
No, that's happiness at the expense of others. There's probably another one though.
I get that as well.
Not in this situation.
Everyone gets it as well about you. No. Raise your hand if you spent that much money on a phone game. Oh no, it's just you.
Everyone put their hands up, by the way, for those listening.
It feels
mine. It wasn't just Phil.
It was just Phil. Phil looked like a Hermione Granger-like. It was me, it was me!
I spent that much money.
Yeah. So yeah, what else did I do? That's about it. We watched Legend, finally, the new Cray Brothers movie, which was superb. We were mightily impressed with Tom Hardy.
Playing both the Cray twins.
Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy.
I did. There was occasions where I felt really sorry for the body doubles because I kind of just imagined being them and having Tom Hardy yelling at you whilst pretending that you were also him playing his own twin.
I'm sure their motivation was exactly that, like, precise. It's like, so, I'm going to stand here, standing, reacting as Tom Hardy would to himself.
Yeah, just have like a Tom Hardy cardboard like standee for him to act against.
I could just see
his dumb butt. Just
a mirror. And he had half of his makeup on one side. He just turned. He's like, oh, okay. Two different people.
Hardy. Two things. Where's Scary Face go? So Legend is good?
Really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's...
So I was trying to think. I definitely haven't seen it, so...
It's on
should
Amazon
I go watch
Prime
it?
Movies. Other movie services are available.
Yeah. We don't do that.
What?
We don't have to worry about video services. Because seriously,
I said apart it from...
We're not hawking any services until someone starts paying us to do so.
Yeah, but also, if you look at Netflix and then you look at YouTube and Disney Live, there's not really another video service that's even... I can name that it's an English one that isn't just Sky-owned, so it doesn't really matter.
That's why I said it ironically.
Okay. Didn't come off as ironic.
Speaking of Netflix, have you heard about
the Disney thing?
Disney.
Yeah. You heard that?
It's only in America.
The new what?
Oh, so, well, fine.
The always counts.
We have Disney Life, which means we won't have the same setup.
I'm surprised. Disney Life.
Yeah, that's...
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the list.
Oh, sorry, it was the first one that she mentioned. I just assumed that was
just implied. Just didn't include it in the later
list. Just so everyone's aware, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Life, if I didn't say it now, that's the first time. Sky owns pretty much everything else.
So Now TV.
So is this week's episode called Sky Owns Everything?
No, Disney owns everything because they have Disney Life. Which, as you said, Netflix in America are having a setup where they will have all of Disney's stuff for like the next 20 years. But Disney Life, which is outside of America, has sewn up basically all of Disney properties ongoing, apart from the stuff that they license out for like pennies.
You think
like,
whoever's in charge of AMC is super salty about the whole Disney thing? Because AMC is owned by Disney, but they keep getting shafted and moving Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to a later time slot, and everything else is going on Netflix.
Yeah.
AMC have been shafted by their own parent company.
Yeah, they do that a lot. Disney can change their mind all the time. I mean, we won't talk about that game that got cancelled even though we shouldn't. It's okay, Phil. It's not like the entire collection is now just going to be a memorial to sadness.
Yeah, so much money you physically spend.
If I sold all that stuff.
I could get a whole new phone and a whole new Google account.
I actually could.
You know, in America, it's gone the way of all the Disney Infinity stuff has started getting cheaper and going on fire sale because it's been cancelled. Over here, the complete fucking opposite.
Yeah.
I went, so I need three figures. Well, I need two now because I went and bought one of them from Game While I was out on Monday. And they're trying to jack up the prices. It even got a damaged box. I'm like, yeah, $9.99, deal with it.
Yeah.
They are really gouging the prices on it.
That is Game, though.
Yeah.
And they are famous for...
For doing
well, that. I only need two more, so...
So that's another 20 quid.
Yep.
Buy them online.
Except the last one will be £5,000. Just a bit
more. Probably. I'll wait long enough that it'll be super expensive.
And then the week after it'll be on eBay for $9.99.
Oh, yeah. That's how it always goes.
Do you think they are doing it literally as a stock clearance like, option, and then they'll tell them to go, actually, due to all the popularity of Disney Infinity, we're not going to do Disney Infinity 4.
I would be okay with that, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like all the rest.
If it meant Rogue One figures, then yeah, I'd be okay
with
that.
Yeah, I think everyone would just be pissy, but pleased.
Yeah. Happy sad.
It can't be a German word for it.
Pissy, but pleased is Luke. That wasn't even a thing. That was just what? Like a legit analysis.
Phil's analysis.
Phil's been analysing your personality again.
Yeah.
And he's combined it into one word.
That's almost he's like sorry. A phone mini game. It's to describe your personality. Or Facebook quiz. Your personality is pissy, but please.
It was based on my date of birth.
So, Joe, what have you been up to?
I haven't been playing a lot. Still been playing the Plague app because I'm a fucking loser. And I've not completed everything on super ultra hard mode yet because I suck at being a disease. Luke laughed. I've won.
Episode's over, let's go home. Luke finally left.
Yeah, it only took super ultra hard mode.
That's not even what it's called. It's like ultra brutal or something
ridiculous. That's a whole different spin on things.
It does, doesn't it?
I'm not so comfortable with that.
That's it. Look,
he's more pissy than pleased now.
That's his doctor's nickname.
Doctor Brutal. First name, absolutely.
He's got an umlaut in it, though.
Do you know the word happy sad?
It's German.
Brutal.
Austrian, yeah.
So, yeah, I've been playing that and reading a series of books called The Tomes of Bill. That's about a guy, a bit like kind of us, really, who's a massive fucking nerd who gets turned into a vampire.
Does he get sparkly?
No. And he spends a lot of time being like, fuck, what am I going to do now? And then it turns out he's like a special vampire, which sounds fucking ridiculous.
He's a special vampire.
So you know how vampires have that compulsion thing? Mm-hmm. All of the vampires have that, but he is a free will, so he can't be forced to do
anything.
Where they can
the boss vampire.
Yeah.
The boss, but like
charm.
Are you reading
like a charm
Interview with a Vampire?
No, I'm reading Tomes of Phil. And I'm currently on book 4 and there's only 7 and I started on Saturday.
Jesus.
Who would spend that much time on one medium just continuously?
Yeah, I mean no one would do that, right?
Like, what a fucking loser. So yeah, it's quite good fun. It's a bit Monster of the Week type thing. So every book he has a big bad to face, and then by the powers of the free will, because he's different.
Do the bads get progressively bigger?
Yes.
Is there a musical number?
Not yet, but he does have two very sarcastic human like flatmates that spent the entirety of the first book just stabbing him with stuff, being like, does that hurt? Cool, that one's true. Garland, not so much. He doesn't have to be invited.
I feel like
in.
I would like this Silver. Book.
Yeah, it's quite good. If you've got the Kindle Unlimited thing, which I'm doing a free month because I'm going on holiday for 2 weeks, it's on that. Or it's like £3 for 3 books.
Have they done audiobooks?
Yes.
Cool. I know I'm getting next on Audible.
Don't know if it's audiobooks.
No. Oh, you mean the actual book? Sorry.
Yeah, I think they're on Audible because as part of the Kindle Unlimited, it was like, do you want to listen to this? I was like, fuck no.
Right, fuck yes.
I found out something recently. Kindle Unlimited stuff for the audio versions. You can do them yourself.
Yeah.
You literally can just apply to, like, you supply the audio to an audiobook and submit it. And if it gets picked up by Amazon, that is the official version that they will just flog in their stores.
You get paid for it?
Yeah. You get a cut off a percentage.
Guys, I'm quitting the job.
I'm reading out loud for a living from now on.
Let's all start reading out loud for money.
Let's have a contest. Let's all pick a book and do it and see who wins.
I'm going to pick a really short book.
Briggy's book. The end.
It's just the, but it's a really fancy the.
Calligraphy to the max.
Just sort of cliff notes where you just sort of describe the book rather than there's a vampire on the front. He looks angry.
Not sparkly.
Oh,
the colour palette is quite dark. lots of reds and browns.
They have limited pixel resolution.
I like the thought that you can actually hear them turning the page constantly. Blank, 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 blank. The end. This is a really good book.
It's all the stat padding on Audible, that's what it is. Yep, I listened to a whole book today.
It was two words. Do you know, I saw a thing on Reddit that was like a shower thoughts, and it was someone had done that, and then they, like, it was 8 hours of silence, and then they just went, out loud? And I was trying to work out if Audible would lead. Hey, you're all shaking your head, but I stole a joke from Reddit and you all fucking laughed.
That's essentially our target audience, is stealing jokes from Reddit.
Yeah. Oh god, we've become 9gag.
We literally just 9gag. People pay attention to 9gag.
Pull it down and repost.
Not even image. People use that service.
Not for anything worthwhile.
I guess even hated means someone cares enough to have an emotion.
Yeah. We need a service that people are indifferent to. Stumble upon.
So we were good once.
No.
Stumble upon was never even good once.
Dig.
Yeah.
But like, back 10 years ago.
We wish we would dig. Yeah. We wish we would dig now.
I'd be happy just to be Beeble.
Well, at least we're not MySpace.
Yeah, no one wants to be MySpace.
I so like it.
What was that book called?
It's The Tomes of Bill.
And there are seven.
There's seven complete books, and then there's a few side ones. That
see what the side quests
for. No.
That you can get distracted and not read the end.
If you read too many of the side books, are you then too high a reading level to read the main books?
I don't think that's how it
works. Does it ruin the enjoyment of the main books by being too easy after you've read the side books?
I strongly suspect
that. OP the book.
It's not really how books work.
Extra adventures. The main ones just too easy now.
Is there like a side quest on Biff and Chip which literally has like a dictionary thing? So it's like, oh, it's user created content. Here you go, Biff and Chip read the dictionary. They started with A for Aardvark.
You get all the Floppy side quests. That'd be the side quest. The Adventures of Floppy. That'd be the Biff and Chip side quest.
I thought it was just Harry Potter books.
Wow.
Take that, JK Rowling, and your billions.
She's run out of billions and she's now doing another book.
No, she's doing it out of love for the world.
Well, that's clearly not.
That's what she calls money.
She's doing it as a screenplay.
Yeah, love is her word for money.
I think if she's doing it for love, it's going to be free then.
Well, exactly.
Well, then I want a refund on my pre-order. Quite frankly.
You're funding this madness.
I'm okay with
that. As opposed to the Kickstarter funding, which is just like unknown madness. This is a known quantity of like enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, at least you know the book's going to be shit.
For the people that need to play the app, they're going to make me play a board game.
Yeah.
So that I can play that in my house instead of. But they've also introduced a solo mode so that when no one wants to play with me, I can play on my own. Like it's an app!
Is it like a pocket version that you can carry with you in case you need to play on the train, for example?
Nah.
That's a stretch goal, isn't it? Like it's half a mil.
If they get to 2 mil, do they actually release an app?
They are currently releasing 2 companion apps. Already, they've already hit that stretch goal.
2?
There's 2. So there's one that like talks you through and helps you learn how to play. And then there's one that does, like, you know how you've got that app that sets the tone for Werewolf? And there's music and all that kind of fucking shit. There's that.
I get
for a board game.
I get why both exist.
I don't know why.
I don't get why there are 2 apps. Fuck. And not 1 app with a menu.
Because there were 2 separate apps.
Because why would you download that second app if all you do is play with your friends?
And you already know how to play.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that neither of them are particularly large. You can just put them into 1 app.
Yeah, but also there were 2 separate stretch goals. So...
They've not built it yet. Well, guys, I guess we're going to take a poor approach to software design because we made these 2 separate stretch goals a while back. That doesn't work.
What you don't know is that how it works and how to play the game is actually just the game app.
Well, the instructions. Play through this 3 times.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Now you'll understand these custom dice. It's fine. That's my last. They've only got 2 more stretch goals to go, which is at 240,000, and then they'll have hit them all. I've got 6 days to go. So by the time everyone listens to this tough shit, you've missed it. Buy it off the internet.
In 3 weeks' time. Fucking hell.
2.
Oh, no.
2 weeks.
It might have delivered by then.
Yeah.
It won't.
Sorry, I'm just in my head trying to work out when this is supposed to come out again. Anyway, carry on.
Technically next week.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, good.
So yeah, it'll have finished by then, but only just. Like, it finishes in 6 days.
Yeah, you're still missing it, people who are listening now. So
Tuesday was the cut-off date. That was yesterday. This is today. This is Wednesday.
We could
not
just,
yesterday,
could
which was
post.
Tuesday.
What I was going to say is I could just share it from...
We could just post the link on the Facebook page.
Yeah, just share it.
Wow, there. We could be helpful.
Yeah, we could.
Well, nah. I have the details, so I could actually do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of people posting things, who has not shared that back the $1 million foot game thing like everyone that they know? Because I haven't purchased it, but people just keep appearing to share that to everywhere.
I think it's because like most of us have backed it.
But also a lot of their stretch goals revolve around social sharing and different involvement.
And we need like 3 more to get a 500 card deck. 3 or 4 more we need.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll
do it. Get
from what?
Of the achievements. On
the extension.
I don't know, there are like 6 different things to get.
Well, if you don't get the extension one, then everyone else gets that extra cards when we don't.
The expansion, yeah. It's $42.
That includes shipping.
That includes shipping,
yeah.
Which is 35 quid.
$1 million, but
the so that's what you're talking
the
about.
Kickstarter is what
I'm
talking about.
No, I was thinking of the one where you just give them a dollar.
No.
The obligatory.
We haven't backed that. I backed that one.
Right.
No one else
that's
has.
That's confusing. Sorry.
I'm regretting backing that because I get nothing but updates from this guy that I don't read.
Yeah.
There's been like 14 updates.
You're going to get a little piece of cardboard.
I know. I like this joke. I don't need to know all these things that you're sending me updates about.
Really sure you can turn off updates if you go online.
Can you turn off updates specifically for one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
You can turn it off by project because I've muted. Like, I got one. You know those cute Pop Funko Cats things?
Oh, yeah.
They also did a book as part of that Kickstarter, and I was like, well, I've never got mine. I no longer give a shit. Stop sending me emails. And they went and just muted everything that I'd already received because I also sponsored some physical products like 3 years ago. And he kept being like, anytime he launched a Kickstarter, he clearly sent an email to everyone that ever backed anything of his. And I was like, at some point I need to make that stock.
And he's still not sent you the stuff?
No, he sent me the stuff. But he kept then, like, you know how after they've sent the stuff, they can then push further updates, being like, and here's my new project, and here's my new project. But every 6 months, that's really fucking boring.
It's like Lewis Castle, the guy who done the little Deadpool things that I got.
Stickers.
Like, yeah, any time he does a new one, he'll post in the Deadpool one, which was his initial success. He's popped like the last 2 that's in it now.
But haven't you also looked at those and been interested about backing them as well?
I've already backed them.
Yeah, so
this is like all of them, and I've just backed the most recent one.
So it is working for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even look at the Deadpool ones, like, because I this is sad. I normally come across his before he even gets a chance. Before he even gets a chance to send out the thing.
What's your backing number on the most recent one?
One.
Are you what's yours?
The one before that.
I don't even know.
Two.
It was definitely not one though.
Was
that two?
I think so.
Not like you're stalking him or anything.
No, he is. Actively stalking him.
Honestly, I just go on, like, every couple of hours.
I think he might... I think he might just be an online alias for Chris. I think he's just creating stickers and kickstarting them.
Then probably why the fuck are you posting them
because
yourself?
Because ever since Chris introduced me to this guy that does these stickers, they've been progressively getting closer and closer to the ones that I really want to buy. So I'm thinking, Chris is like, yeah, Briggy quite likes these, and he's got money. Yeah, I'll just make Harley stickers this time.
But what you don't actually know is I get all mine for free because I refer you.
That's why you were so shocked that they get the t-shirt. You're like, fucker, you're supposed to spend my money.
Yeah. I actually have t-shirt. To spend $10.
That was my week.
And I'm done.
I kickstarted things, I read a book, and then I played an app. It's just that the app and the Kickstarter were the same.
I was just confused.
So, Chris, done anything in the last couple of weeks other than kickstart the stickers?
No. No.
Did you kickstart the board game The Million Dollars Butt as well?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I'm one of those.
It'll come for Christmas, that'll be fine.
It's almost 10,000% backed.
It's more than 10,000%.
Oh, so they've unlocked that achievement.
Has anyone like done the one-off $1 million?
No, all the other ones have gone apart from the $1 million, but we don't know what we could give you yet.
Because if I legitimately won the lottery like before it finishes in what, like a day or so, I would totally back it. And then when they go, oh, they've got this thing, and I'd be like,
just over 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So if I win the lottery in the next 2 weeks and I can claim the money before then, yeah, I will spend $1 million just to go, kickstart something for $1 million and have all the news people go, haha, you're a fucking retard. And I go, yeah, but I still got millions of pounds.
You'd also probably be single-handedly responsible for the making of the $1 million but movie that they'll make if they hit every achievement.
Does that mean you get, like...
Yeah, probably.
Because then you could be like, I want everyone I know to be in it because you spent $1 million.
They probably will be the $1 million but guy. That you have the $1 million that you're giving to someone for the movie purposes. Because that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no.
You know who should do it?
You?
Donald Trump.
No.
Can you imagine how amazing it would be if Donald Trump is like, I got $1 million, here you go. I'm president, I'll do what the fuck I like.
Key people I dislike out of things that I like.
$1 million.
I'm just going to say, you have to give him his proper title, Mr. President.
Yeah, Mr. President Trump. Trump.
And
really
that's why
like
England didn't get nicked. Because of you, Paul.
It's alright, by then we'd have left the EU and Scotland would have disassociated with us anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What you're saying is, if you don't have any friends, it's fine if you get nukes.
Scotland's where all the nukes are.
Yeah, exactly. They'll just keep hold of them and be like, yeah, fuck you.
We've actually preemptively built a wall and started digging a channel between England and Scotland.
All the Scots are lined up on the border right now with chisels.
Yeah. It does not make more sense.
There's enough of them, it's just chisels.
Just digging like a little trench, just sort of a foot deep, hoping, watching as the sea fills it up as they're digging along.
Hey, we've been planning this since the late 70s.
But it would be easier if you left a wall, so then you could dig it all dry. And then
if
let
you
the
built a wall directly in front of the trench, will people not just go over and like throw ropes at the wall and then pull it down over the trench so they can walk across the wall? As a
it's
bridge?
On the English side.
That's not how
it's on the English side.
Yeah.
So you could just literally push it onto the trench.
See, we know that no one up north, like, they're not clever enough to think of that. It's fine.
He's right.
And everyone down south is too fucking lazy to go up north to think
also,
of that.
It's cold.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah. It's warmer inside.
There's sun down here.
Why would they want Scotland anyway? Scotland's rainy and cold.
Yeah,
so is the north of England.
They have hairy cows.
And oil. Wow.
That is no way to talk about Scottish women.
Joey's a Scottish woman.
You also said that.
Chris apparently agrees.
It's not technically wrong.
since last week.
We'll cut that silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's a 5 minute silence now.
Hey, you want everybody cutting silences out, you want everybody leaving silences in. You have to decide.
No, we don't.
Just like the EU. Oh. Anyway, Friggy, what are you doing?
No.
You're trying to make this very political.
Yeah, you're being very, very political today.
I'm trying to
you get, got, you got
I'm
some opinions.
To get our one listener to leave us alone. Fuck off, Jamie.
That might do it better than we should leave the EU.
Luke's like, don't fuck off, Jamie. You're still my real friend. These guys, just fuck off.
Yes.
And that yes is getting used in every podcast forever. What's that, Luke? You like stuff up your butt?
Yeah.
Oh, that is going to be so good on that.
Anyone else with any runs?
Luke actually died months ago. That's why he's so silent. We're just using whatever clips we have.
Because you knew the show would die without me. Oh.
See, he said that months ago. Would you even
he was that arrogant.
He was so accurate.
You say die.
Yeah.
Surely, like, it has to have listeners and be vaguely okay before for it to die. Like, it's not in any particularly well-living stage.
It had listeners.
Fetus is a person too, Joe. Just because we've got one listener.
Yeah, fuck you, Jamie.
Yeah.
We've got, like, five.
We don't count if we're in the room.
You count to me.
Yeah.
That's not true, because you
listen
to the
podcast that's anymore.
Some colleagues still listen.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Probably. Don't no. they?
Stop
think,
it, Marge.
I think after stopping regular posts,
yeah. I keep forgetting chick stats. I have no idea.
There was that one episode that got popular.
There's always some listens on some episodes when they go. We just never like break more than 20
well,
people in an episode.
We enjoy anymore. Making them, and that's what
yeah.
counts.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. someday people will spot it, but oh, there's a lot of episodes of this and start listening to it.
Oh, maybe
they'll be so disappointed.
How are these fuckers still going?
Why do they think people want to listen to this?
Yeah. Why do they keep mentioning Kickstarters that are already
true, that happened years ago. Let's face it, that's not true, because SoundCloud were down well before that point.
Yeah. Didn't Sony like chuck some money towards them at some point?
I think probably. So, and they're doing a subscription service now.
That will go brilliant.
You
it's
could always put the
nobody using it.
Podcast on Spotify.
You can, that's really fucking hard. I looked at it.
Is it?
You could always try and get it on iTunes, then try and get it on Spotify.
You have to be a really popular podcast on other services for Spotify to request that you then put your podcast onto Spotify.
Ain't that mean?
You can't just upload your podcast onto Spotify. Because I looked at it and was like, oh, that would work. No, it wouldn't. Well, it's harder than iTunes.
Characters. Yeah.
What do you do, Briggy?
What I do? I've been off for the last couple of days because I've been playing Overwatch.
What's that?
Really popular, super hyped game before it came out that, thank God, it turned out to not suck. So that's the only thing I could have handled it being a bad game after the amount of money I've sunk into merchandise now. I went all in on Overwatch. It's good. It's good. The actual game itself is a lot of fun. It is just... It's Team Fortress 2, but with 21 classes and no hats.
Oh, I'm not interested.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
There are skins and voices.
There are skins, yeah.
There's some good voices in there.
Yeah.
There are. I went through all the voice packs. Yes. I went through them all and I went, there are some quality ones here that Phil would really enjoy.
So that's, speaking of Phil and Overwatch, without talking about the actual game itself, I realised I was becoming Phil earlier in that there are loot boxes you get for levelling up, which contain four random objects, be them voice lines, skins, highlight intro, that sort of thing, which during the beta phase you could only get from levelling up. In the full game now, there is a shop with the microtransactions for loot boxes.
Dangerous.
I spent £10 if I went, no, any more and I become the Phil of Overwatch.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You'll have all the voices.
I could see me doing that though, because it's... Especially because it's randomised, you get that feeling like, oh, it's like a lottery, and I get four, and oh, they're not quite what I wanted, but I got a few legendary skins out of the 11 boxes I bought, and I was like, I need to stop doing this right
Time
now.
To drop another £100
yeah.
on voices.
I was thinking I need to make sure my PayPal just stops paying out to Blizzard in the future. Because this is the week now that Blizzard have reclaimed my soul. And they didn't even do it with World of Warcraft, which is shocking. It took them a couple of years, but I am all in on Blizzard games again.
For the next week.
Well, the last week since Overwatch beta ended, the last 2 weeks since the Overwatch beta ended, I've been playing Heroes of the Storm pretty much non-stop. And I've really gotten into that again. It's the one MOBA that isn't Smite that I actually enjoy.
Would you say you have the hots for it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Well done, Phil.
Cue Luke's face in hand.
Yep.
Disappointed look on face.
I realize that the reason I like Heroes of the Storm and Smite as MOBAs is because it takes less skill. Because there is no last hitting for the creep to earn money. That is simply... It's objective-based and teamfight-based. There's none of the build-up of creep, none of the going back and buying items. It takes all of that out of that those sort of style MOBAs like League and like Dota, and focuses just on that composition of team and playing the objective, which is more of what I enjoy about those games. Than
about fun rather than micromanagement.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is why, you know, the MMOs went through roughly the same sort of thing. Yeah. All the games like Lineage and stuff were overly complicated and...
Which
you know,
there
very
is
very vanilla. WoW was very complicated.
There's an audience
extend.
For that, and it's you can't generalize and say, "Oh, MMOs are one thing," or "Oh, MOBAs are one thing." MOBAs are so diverse now that there is a different genres of MOBA within MOBA, which is fine. But I'm not into the specific ones like LOL and like Dota that have that micromanagement in there. So that's why I've enjoyed a lot more of Heroes of the Storm, and I think it's also because I have a pre-existing interest in the lore.
Yeah.
So I'm both a big Warcraft and big Starcraft fan, and now they've started adding Overwatch characters to Heroes as well, that made it more interesting for me. So I've enjoyed playing that up until the point where Overwatch was released, where we spent 15 minutes of launch night all sat together on TeamSpeak watching a failing to log in screen. Which I think if you went on Twitch at the same time, it was just multiple screens of everyone looking at the same thing to log in.
Every single person who was on at launch was basically just looking at the same screen. It was Diablo 3, it was pretty much every release, it was that thing where everyone... It wasn't as long as those
No,
games.
That's... Gotta give them credit. Everyone started moaning for 15 minutes while it wasn't up, and then after 15 minutes the game was up and people stopped moaning. So it wasn't as horrendous as, say, the Diablo 3 launch. Diablo 3? Diablo 2.
Three.
StarCraft 2, Diablo 3.
Oh,
West
one?
Ham none.
It's nil.
I don't follow sports.
Unless they're electric.
I don't even follow esports.
Oh, take that, Luke.
Yeah.
That's why Luke's that here. He's our esports
He's
correspondent.
The sporty one of the group. He is the sporty spice.
I was going to talk about the closest thing to sporting news. Something that I read today. For those who care about sports, you might have heard that Jose Mourinho looks like he's going to be signing for Manchester United as their manager. But one thing that's held the deal off is...
Really, his manager? I thought he would have been goalkeeper or something.
Bear in mind, there are four confused faces here.
No, so. I thought Jose Mourinho.
Is this
United? Is this a sports ball?
Right. I hear it's a cab company.
It's nothing to do with sport. But the deal is on hold because Chelsea own the right to his name and his signature.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
They are owned by...
What the fuck?
Because they own your signature?
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, they are owned by very rich people.
Your own signature, surely.
And then there's like the sports law is like, yes, most people do own their own name and signature, but he doesn't. So that's...
Just change it.
But they really want to hire him.
The artist formerly known as Jose Mourinho.
No, all he needs to do is just change his signature.
I thought the deal was
to
the
be all capital.
No, literally, Prince has already done this.
No, he's already gone.
Put your fingerprint on it.
Someone regarding the Man U stuff decided not to break the studio contract. That's all I heard in the news today.
Anyway, back to Overwatch and less about
sports. Sports
balls.
Sports balls.
I'm just in a really tenuous link between those two. The characters for Overwatch.
Yeah.
I am waiting for them to do a sports related character. Because I bet one's gonna end up coming
out.
There's
a sports related skin so far.
Yeah.
Lucio has a hockey legendary skin. That's it.
I'm waiting for one of them to be like
Rooney.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He just throws grandmas at people
and his own feces.
But yeah, like a sporty character, like who would be like baseball wielding, football kicking, goal, goal, goal.
Would he shouting. Would he speak with a Brooklyn accent and be the fastest character on the team?
Similar, but not
quite. Did you see that?
I think they've done that.
Did you see that? They had the voice actor for the scout doing Tracer's lines in a recent live stream.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It was great. I'll try and remember to link everyone to that. I'll yeah, forget. But it's Googleable. It was pretty funny, though, just seeing him do it, because he's such a, like, you know, dickish attitude towards Overwatch, because clearly it's Team Fortress's like main competitor right now. Like, there's no other team-based shooters that have had that sort of stylized almost Pixar look to them, where Team Fortress 2, so Team Fortress 2 is so full of personality based on those particular classes, but that's told in such a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. They know they're being stupid, whereas Overwatch is a lot more earnest.
Mm.
But that's really the only thing that separates them is, in terms of theme, is that one is told earnestly, one is told as a joke, because it's a video game that knows it's a video game. Which I think a lot of people like that style, whether or not they like the tone of it, they definitely like, you know, the simple, you know, the colour to it, the jokes about the characters, the little animated features they did for Team Fortress 2, the comic that went with it. Overwatch has done that same thing. It's had the animated features, it's had the comics that go along with it. They're talking about doing a movie at some point. So everyone likes those particular worlds, and all they are is team-based shooters at the end of the day. It's just, there's more characters in Overwatch right now.
Yeah.
But I really liked Team Fortress 2 when it came out.
10 years ago.
Yes.
But it's a fairly old game now.
I've liked it progressively less as they've... I was much more a fan of the vanilla Team Fortress 2 and less this Man and Machine thing. They've had all this other stuff in it. It's not that I didn't like it. I just sort of fell away from it. And when I went back into it, I realised it wasn't the same game that I played anymore. And
it's definitely not. But I mean, over 10 years, a game has to evolve or it dies.
Oh, of course. Makes sense. But I think... I don't know if it's just I'm getting into Overwatch and it's at the beginning of it, so I can sort of see it progress. Or if it's just that it's told more earnestly, so I kind of like that about it. Because the cinematics to it, the little animated shorts they've done for like some of the characters, they've done the Tracer and Widowmaker one, they did the dragons for Genji and Hanzo, and then they released Hero for Soldier 76 just before launch. All of those are incredible. The music to them is fantastic. I love the animation style to it. It's so Pixar. And they're just nice to have these entrances into the lore, which you don't need for that game, but it makes it more interesting when you see these characters, like knowing that relationship between Hanzo and Genji as brothers, and they did that really, like, you know, old Japanese folklore tale and then had the cinematic for it. That was really cool. So now it's interesting to see the interactions between them, because they throw voice lines in there, which are fun.
There are some awesome.
Did they?
Yeah, they've got loads of interactions between certain characters, so if you've got Vi and Caitlyn in the same game, you get a special passive that counts how many times you kill each other, because one's a hero and one's a villain. And there's quite a few different characters, like Thresh stole Lucian's wife and took her to wherever the hell he's from.
How do you find any of this out, though? There's
small parts of each character's got a very small lore section within the game, and then the wikis, and they also threw
counters.
Yeah, they were brothers, and any skin that wears sunglasses takes one less damage from Leona because she's sun-based. loads of stuff like that.
That is cool. I think it's most likely because it's more accessible on Overwatch because they've put this stuff out. The comics are really good. They've done the comics, there's 5 comics that they've done for Overwatch. They're all on the main website, and they're done in the same way that anyone that's used something like Comixology to read comics has probably used their online reader, which instead of just giving you the PDF style of here's the page, you can click through them next and back, and they have the panels appear in sequence, and sometimes they have little animations in them. And this is things like Batman Issue 1 on Comixology. It's the same as Batman Issue 1 in print, but the Comixology reader has little animations like this, which swooshes in and they appear panels in certain ways. So the Blizzard ones for Overwatch all do the same thing like that. So you go through and they've got little like animatics in them and stuff, which is really cool. I think that's nice to have those put out for free to give more backstory when they can't spend all the money for all 21 characters to do them a big cinematic. They look expensive. Mm. They're all to the same quality of of Blizzard's usual animation department that take years to make any particular animation. Like the Warlords of Draenor intro is one that I particularly like that Warcraft did. That's beautiful. It's a piece of animation.
I was going to say, also, it does carry over in-game. Like, you do get interactions between characters.
And maps.
Yeah.
Widowmaker specifically has lines related to King's Row because she's in the King's Row. She's in King's Row doing the assassination in the Alive cinematic short. So they have those relations that way. And there are some things that are said by other characters that have no reference to them yet. So they might be things that we're going to see in the future as they put more stuff out to support the game in terms of storyline. But that's all interesting because they've said that since you've bought the game and it's not based on microtransactions, any new maps and characters that come out are given to everybody for free. So as the game continues to evolve, you don't have to spend more money. It's all for cosmetics like the skins and the voice packs and stuff, which you don't need to keep playing. I realise that I'm trying to level up and play this game. And none of it's necessary at all. I can still play the same games with all the same abilities, with all the same characters, regardless of whether or not I spend any time levelling up and unlocking skins or not. Which I think is, it's nice to have everyone on even ground, which is something you don't get in a lot of other MOBA-style games. Even though it's not a MOBA, it has that feeling to it, because everyone has an ultimate ability. Everyone has specific abilities other than just shooting or a deployable they drop. Which makes it... We were talking about it online as we've been playing in a group. So me and you've been playing, my brother's been on, and Tom and that. And the way we talk about it online is very similar to people talking about it while playing a MOBA. Like, they play Dota 2 sometimes. Sometimes they play Heroes of the Storm with me. And, you know, we're constantly talking about, oh, what's the composition of the other team? What are the hard counters to Genji? How do we stop this character? Or we need to have these two characters synergize with one another. And they're all things that we've been talking about a lot while playing Heroes. And it's interesting that we never used to talk about it that way when we were playing Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
So there is some depth to that game that makes it interesting to play. I can't wait for Ranked. I don't think Ranked is available yet, but I'm looking forward to trying that. Because day one and day two so far, matchmaking is fucked up. I don't know if it's just because they weren't expecting people to like level up as quickly or for people to be at a certain skill level at level one, but you get some really strange team compositions, not just based on level, but on definite ability to play the game, where we get a lot of one-sided matches, which matchmaking shouldn't be doing, so I don't know if it's just going to get better in the coming weeks, or if it might be an issue that's inherent to that game right now.
I imagine if it's a proper matchmaking system, it'll have some kind of machine learning in there, and therefore as time goes on, the data that they're getting back from match results and players and all the rest of it adds to making it a better experience, and the matchmaking itself will just grow through time.
Yeah, because at the minute, it's super rage-inducing to get absolutely steamrolled by another team that's clearly made up of six better players. And also, it's nice every once in a while to win by steamrolling with your own team. But the most fun matches are definitely the ones where it comes down right to the wire, where you both are very equally skilled team that are pushing for an objective. They're really fun, and they go on for a lot longer, and they're a lot more memorable, and can be more anecdotal when you talk about the stories of pulling off these insane shots.
When you hit the overtime period on stuff.
Yeah, that's so tense and so much fun to have that timer countdown and then have an overtime bar that ticks down based on the objective that you can keep putting back up. So you're constantly then with that tension trying to either push people back or push yourself onto the objective. And then some people will then start panicking and spam abilities and then everyone dies, or it can go any way. People are still figuring out bits of the game, so that makes it an exciting experience to be part of. But having played it for as long as I've played it, because I'm off and I don't have any responsibilities right now, I got real tired, and I think at one point I just sort of gave up mid-game on several games. I'm like, I'm just too tired to do this, and we'd lost real bad. But I think when I'm awake and I've had some rest, that game is really fun just to jump into off the bat. I'd highly recommend it for the price point. A lot of people complain that, oh, why is it not free to play? Why are they not just doing microtransactions for characters? I think a £30 game, it's got the content for it. It's definitely value for money.
Speaking of games in terms of that price point, have you completed Doom yet?
Do we not talk about Doom?
Last time we were going to talk about Doom and you went, nah, I've got a weekend to play that. And then
I completed Doom.
It's
really good. It's just really good. It's the original, it's the first two Dooms, but with improved graphics and a colour palette that doesn't suck balls like Doom 3 did. I wasn't going to say, but Phil's already made two references to that. So. It's It's really good. I enjoyed playing through Doom. It's possibly the most fun I've had with a first-person shooter, especially a single-player first-person shooter, in a long time. And it's the first game I remember also, maybe in the last couple of years, that actually has proper bona fide boss fights. Actual boss fights is something I've realized have been lacking from a lot of games.
Yeah, Dark Souls, man.
I was going to say,
Apart from, well, Dark Souls. Dark Souls is, yeah, a whole boss fight.
Technically, they don't have boss fights so much as, like, people kill you quicker.
Yeah, that's the thing. In Dark Souls, is it not that it's not specifically boss fights, but these monsters that are in the world appearing and just fucking your shit up to a varying degree of difficulty, whereas in Doom, you get two specific boss fights where the life meter appears at the top of the screen and they are set pieces as like an arena where you're just fighting this giant boss.
You kind of get that in Dark Souls.
I guess I've been missing Dark Souls. I haven't played
Minions, you don't see their health bars, but the bigger boss fights, you do.
I'd say it's definitely something that has been missing from a lot of games, though. I think it started with Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 2 ends on a really amazing boss fight. And then there's nothing at the end of Mass Effect 3 that mirrors that. And I sort of just noticed a lot of games I've played since then don't really have boss fights or have a really lackluster ending in some cases. Where a lot of people can make a great start and middle to a game, but a lot of people can't make a good ending to a game. Whereas Doom totally delivers. It does end on a cliffhanger. But that's because Bethesda were like, sequel. But it does have a great moment of boss fight and then the little cinematic and then, you know, ends on a minor cliffhanger just going, oh, there's more of this. But story took a backseat that entire game. That game just has like, oh, there are demons, you're on Mars. Portal to hell. Kill demons. Okay, I'll kill demons. That's the storyline. That's Doom. That's all it's ever needed. And it just has a really good soundtrack to back it up. So if anyone enjoyed the first couple of Dooms and aren't sort of wanting more of the Doom 3 survival horror, because it's not survival horror. It doesn't have the jump scare moments. It's not all that monster closet stuff or, you know, teleporting up here and you're jumping out behind. Jump scares, no jump scares in Doom. I can say Doom 4, but it's just Doom, isn't it? It's just big arenas with lots of monsters and very gory kills. There's so much blood and gib in that game. I haven't even played the multiplayer, though, so I can't say anything about it, but I've been told it's not an arena multiplayer game in the same way that Quake 3 Arena was, and that kind of put me off it, because that's really all I wanted from an id multiplayer game, is the new Quake 3. So maybe they'll remake Quake and do a Quake 3 Arena remake as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doom's worth picking up. The two bosses are really cool, and it's, if anyone's a fan of the original Doom, it's worth getting to that point and trying to avoid spoilers, because in retrospect, I should have seen that boss fight coming. It makes perfect sense for, you know, a legacy thing, but it didn't hit me until it actually happened. I'm like, oh, yes, it's amazing. It's a nice callback, but try to avoid spoilers on that one, because that's a fantastic boss fight at the end. Thumbs up so much on that game. Yeah.
For real?
Top-end first-person shooter.
So you've been shooting a lot of people from first-person perspective recently?
Yeah, yeah. There's no voice packs in Doom. There's no Cockney Sparrows, so.
That's what it needs.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it needs Tracer voice.
It does.
Every game needs that.
Lol, we're here, is getting Tracer voice.
Oh, if only.
She's in Heroes of the Storm. If you buy the Origins edition of Overwatch, you get her in Heroes of the Storm with all the same voice stuff. Oh, so she has the exact same abilities in Heroes of the Storm she does in the actual Overwatch game as well, so it's mirrored that way. And they've just put, they are doing more characters in Heroes of Storm 4 Overwatch, so that's becoming, they're solidifying that as a new Blizzard IP in 4 by putting it into Heroes. But because they already had Nova from StarCraft, there was no need for a second sniper like Widowmaker, so they just made Widowmaker into a skin for Nova.
Makes sense.
But I'm interested to see in future what happens with that game for the new characters they could add from Overwatch to have more of a presence for that game in Heroes.
You could do a Winston skin for one of the other tank characters where they've got a legal ability.
I imagine that Stitches, because he's got the hook, would get a Roadhog skin, because Roadhog does the hook.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
There you go. Just working the kind of. Luke, what have you been up to?
I literally have nothing to talk about.
But you've been playing World of Warcraft and League of Legends this entire time.
So for the past hour, yeah. That's about sums up the gaming I've done in the past 2 weeks.
You've not done any of that sort of gaming?
See, he loaded up Battle.net for a second before he got into Warcraft. I'm like, oh, Battle.net, well, no, I'm not at home, I can't play Overwatch.
That's it for the podcast.
Wow, we're really
high there. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Luke.
I can tell you that Team U-Porn got banned from another gaming competition.
Yeah, I heard that.
Even if you are backed by a pornography company, that if you call yourself something porn, you're probably going to get banned pretty quick.
Aren't they YP now?
Yeah, Team YP.
Yeah. Well, even maybe just have a holding company in between. And then you could just, like, you know, make appearances, like, in public, associating with things.
That's probably
do your own porn. I'm sure there are. I do mean plenty of professional league players who would appear in porn films given half the chance.
No one wants to watch.
I was going to say that wouldn't.
You say that, you would be the first in line.
Really
credit card out, subscribing to the league professional.
There are a lot of league players that are between like 16 and 17.
Yeah, but there's also Twitch, which is slowly going from people like Day 9 in actual content. Twitch is now becoming, you know, TV at 4 a.m. It's becoming those ones with just girls sat there going, call this number. That is Twitch now.
Yeah. Live Jasmine. Twitch has become Live Jasmine. Yeah. And or Cam 4.
I don't know what they are.
As if you don't know what they are.
I don't know what they are either.
No, I actually haven't heard of Cam 4.
Really?
Genuinely haven't.
Wow, okay. It's a bit of an older one.
What was the name of the shitty channels that were on at like 4 in the morning after TV had stopped? Like
Babe Station.
Babe Station, yeah. That's what Twitch is now. It's just you know, scantily clad women trying to get donations on Twitch while playing Hearthstone really badly.
Yeah, Jamie.
Or playing League.
Streams
all over the place.
Wow.
If we donate like $1 to a stream, can we get into weird shit?
On the stream, he puts that fan art into the view in the bottom left hand corner.
Do we know what his stream name is? Can we give it a shout out here?
I could go.
Oh, his stream link is on our Facebook because we played League with him
he
once.
Streamed the LOL we played.
Which he fucked up the stream multiple times while we were playing LOL.
That's really reassuring. We're now going to be like,
oh, go watch his stream. Maybe he'll fuck up. I don't know.
We were supposed to play Rocket League at one point, and then we didn't.
Let's play Overwatch instead.
Okay.
And stream that.
He probably just played maybe Overwatch, maybe?
Played the beta. I've not seen him play the actual game. Played the outside.
Is that because you've not played any games in the last few weeks?
It's been off the grid.
Cool, so that's the end of the show, pretty much. Paul, what is that Warner Brothers thing?
Oh, they're making a live-action version of Full Metal Alchemist. Full Metal Alchemist, which is a manga slash anime.
That's
going to
be bad.
Well,
I don't know, it could be okay.
I was confused on how on earth they'd make what is quite a massive storyline compressed into what a Canadian.
Well, we know, it's Warner Brothers that bought it, so it'll just be Edward and Raph will find out at the end that their mothers both were called Martha, and that will resolve everything.
Mm-hmm. Which one is being played by Scarlett Johansson?
Edward. No, she'll be Alphonse. Just put her in the big armour.
It doesn't matter who's in the big armour.
No.
That's not yellow face.
It's Scarlett Johansson. And they just go, oh, but it's Alphonse. And it's like, it's not a giant male person, it's just Scarlett Johansson.
Oh my god, yeah, without the armour.
Just Scarlett Johansson. No, I'm really a brought to life armour, big armoured thing. Now you're just Scarlett Johansson, we can all see through the facade.
But the armour itself would be all big and bulky, except for the arse, which would be perfectly sculpted.
Also
because that's where the money is.
Yeah. The money is Scarlett Johansson's arse.
That is. That's where the
money
is.
That's what she calls it. The money.
Yeah?
It's not the money shop.
Still involving her ass.
I bet that's a really expensive money shot. Warner Brothers are sinking millions and millions of dollars into that money shot.
Well, then they shouldn't be driving the face down. They just paid up the
one of these days it will.
Poor yeah,
Scarlett.
When it sags.
Yeah,
at that point, it'll be worth less.
So that's the entire roundtable done and other bits. Anyone got anything else they want to tag on to the end before we close out?
Fuck you, Ubisoft.
If you're interested in League and board games, there's a board game called Load on Kickstarter at the moment, which is basically League the board game.
We should post that on Facebook because that looks good.
Mm.
Although
the miniatures look fantastic.
It is like, what was it, $99? So
it's a fair bit, but I mean, they've unlocked tons of stretch goals already, which are adding loads more minis, and they look so good.
And they've got epic minis available as well, which are like twice the size of the original ones.
I'm guessing when you say League, you don't mean Rocket League.
No, nah. Of Legends.
Rocket League, the board game, is just a football and some remote control cards.
We should get this out right now.
Here's 8 remote control cards and a tiny football. Go at it. Build your own arena.
£200,000, please. Stretch goals. If you give us more money, the cars will come in different shades of red and blue.
You could have one of those little like hydraulic kicks on the bottom of it, so you could launch them into the air as well.
You could put actual rockets on them.
That's a later stretch goal. We gotta work your way up to that one.
That's your 2 mil stretch
goal. Small fireworks.
Small fireworks you can put in an early stretch goal. But they're only one use, obviously.
Not too early. Because you need to make shit tons of profit on your one firework.
We only have one. That's it.
One of the actual cars kickstarted will be an actual rocket car.
So that has been episode 14 of Capture the Frag. We will be on the usual social media network places, Facebook, I think there's a Twitter. We've got the email address you can find us at podcast@geekscodex.net.
And furiously masturbating at geekscodex.net.
Don't use that because it doesn't go anywhere.
That's what she said.
No, she did, not to Brittany.
Oh, that's mean.
Wow, and with that, we're going to end the show proper. So I've been your host for this week, Briggy. I've been joined by...
Luke,
Phil,
Paul,
Pat, Joel,
Viral.
You know what, Chris? I could just say that these are the time you said your name in the first bit and just redub that.
But he won't.
Or just you say his name. I'd be really cross about it.
Chris! Chris!
So that's been a show. We will see you. We're doing a 2-week schedule now, so it'll be.
Important.
Every fortnight from when this episode goes up.
Yes.
Yeah. So see you next time.
There we go.
Capture the frag. Rag. Bye.
Or are you just going to keep infringing on copyright infringement?
Yes.
Wow. I was just thinking that no one has said it the entire episode. We were doing so well.
We said it at the beginning at one point, I'm pretty sure.
That wasn't before we... That wasn't
the entire time you had your laptop open?
Yeah, we hadn't officially started.
All you can hear is your fans. All I could hear was...
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't realise it was until the second time you closed down your MacBook, and then I went, "Oh,
wait,
the air went clear again."
About that, because it sounded loud.
It sounded loud, and then you spent the entire time being like, "Take your phones off the table, Joe. You can't have your phone out." And I was like,
"Fine,
yeah,
okay."
And you were like sitting like that
Let's
the whole
start
time.
Again. Hello and welcome to episode 14.
And then right at the end, you decide to bring out your fucking phone and start texting here. And all I can hear is right, fuck that. I'm done.
You know what? Like, someone gets to be as annoyed about this as I do when I'm entering the fucking thing, but right.
I
now.
Like how we had someone do it.
Yeah.
Who then didn't tell us that until the end?
I told everyone that was looking at me at the opportune moment.
I had to take my phone off because I was being a douche.
I was texting.
It just so happened that he was glued to his thing, and I didn't realise it was his thing that was making all the thing. I was just sitting. Thinking it was feedback.
If you had the headphones off, you would have realized
the
laptop.
Thing make all the things.
All right, okay.
If you want.
Oh, dude, you ruined everything.
Meh.
Didn't even need to contribute. Just turned up, made a fuck ton of noise with his MacBook. I went, "No, I've not done anything, guys."
I literally said before I turned up,
"I
have nothing to say.
I don't
want to
speak."
You were also given the option of not going if you didn't want to.
It's not that I didn't want to. I said literally, "Don't come to me at the roundtable. I haven't done anything. I'll put in pointless comments, but."
You didn't
even nothing
that.
New there.
Oh.
It's alright, I got you saying yes, so we can just ask a bunch of questions. So.
Means I'll have to fucking turn up next time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not like a pretty good podcast.
It's pretty much every other night you come and join us.
Wow.
Wow.